Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. It can be found on page 811 in your church Bibles. My name's Laurie Mobley. I serve on the Board of Women, and I'm also involved in Moms Next. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again, church family. It's great to see you here in our sanctuary down in the Fellowship Hall and those worshiping with us in Fairfax as well. A wonderful opportunity for us to be together, remind each other of not just our affection for one another, but of the Lord's affection for us, his people, for us to reflect upon his love and learn to order our lives in light of it. My name is James Forsyth, senior pastor here, and this is my last Sunday before I go on sabbatical. So, if you're new here, I'll see you in 3 months. I look forward to getting to know you then. Looking forward to this time of sabbatical. I have four broad categories of things I'm going to attack. They are family things, spiritual things, physical things, and some professional things. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the congregational meeting and also give you a report when I get back in 3 months on how it all went. Looking forward to it and grateful for the opportunity to take it and grateful for our leadership here at the church, our pastors, our staff, our elders, deacons, board of women, all our community group leaders and other volunteers. I am very confident that the church will not miss a beat in the next 3 months. And on this, my last Sunday before I went, I have invited our pastoral intern, Chuck Lewis, to come and preach for us. It is our practice. You know, we have a pastoral internship program here at the church. It's a 3-year rotating program where you come in and you do a work through seminary. And while you work through seminary, you spend a year in our worship ministries, a year in our community ministry, and then a year in our missions ministries. And our practice has been to have our senior intern preach before graduating from the program. Charles has been with us for 3 years and has been a great blessing to many of you as well as to us in leadership. He is finishing up this summer and will be going to become an assistant pastor at a PCA church in Richmond. So we're sorry to see him go, but really excited to see how he has grown in his gifts throughout the course of his 3 years here, and excited to continue to relationship with him as we send him off from here. Wanted to have Chuck preach before I left, partly because I just want to hear him preach before I go. Great preacher, you're in for a treat this morning. Also, just because it was a good reminder to me, the point isn't the senior pastor, the point isn't the pastoral intern, the point is Jesus. And whoever gets up here and talks, they're going to be talking about Jesus. He is our leader, he is our hope. So Charles, for coming and speaking to us of Christ, please come and let me pray for you. Father, we're grateful for this day, grateful for the opportunity we have to worship, and grateful for Charles, for the years that you have given him here with us at McLean, and now for the exciting season he's about to embark on as he becomes an assistant pastor and continues to grow in his shepherding and leading and preaching and teaching at our sister church in Richmond. Now I pray that you would give him rest in his soul, freedom, liberty, conviction, joy that comes from being loved by you and from being called to preach for the audience of one. So give him rest, and would we be attentive, would our hearts and minds be engaged, that we would learn and grow and mature in this time that we spend in your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As Pastor James mentioned, my name is Charles Lewis. I am a pastoral intern here, and it's truly a joy to be with you all this morning. If you were with us last week, then you might remember that we just started a sermon series called Enjoying God. Last week, Pastor James talked to us about our union with God and our communion with God, and if we're truly going to enjoy a life with God, we must do so in light of our union and communion with him. Now, this week we're going to narrow our focus just a little bit and look, how can we enjoy God by enjoying the Father's love in particular? How can we enjoy God by enjoying the Father's love? And as we consider how to enjoy the Father's love, we're going to be looking at three things. So if you're a note taker, you can take these down right now. Number one, how to enjoy the Father by first recognizing his love. How to enjoy the Father by second, receiving his love. And how to enjoy the Father by third, returning his love. Recognizing, receiving, and returning. Friends, our God has saved us from a life of sin and death into a life of enjoyment in him. So let's consider the words of Jesus this morning and find out what this life of enjoyment is all about. Look with me at verse 26. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Here, Jesus is encouraging his listeners at the Sermon on the Mount not to worry. And friends, isn't it true that nothing robs us of our joy quite like worry? If you're at an amusement park and you're on a roller coaster and you're afraid that it might malfunction, you're going to have a really hard time enjoying that ride. Or say that it's your wedding day and it's a beautiful day, but you're a little bit worried that your crazy uncle might give a more than inappropriate speech at your wedding reception. You might have a hard time enjoying the reception. But perhaps more seriously, the worry that comes with a cancer diagnosis, or a marriage that's falling apart, or being laid off. No, nothing robs us of our joy quite like worry. And Jesus is very aware of this, but fortunately for us, nobody cares more about our enjoyment than our God does. So Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" What is Christ doing here? He's inviting us to recognize the Father's love. Why? Because we enjoy God as we recognize the Father's love. You see, inside every command not to do something is an invitation to do something better. We see this in culture. You go to the movie theater and you're told not to text. So yes, you're being told not to text, but you're being invited to be fully present and to enjoy the film. We see this in scripture in the Ten Commandments. We're told not to kill. Yes, we're told not to kill, but we're being invited to receive all life as beautiful and sacred and deserving of dignity and respect. Inside every command not to do something is an invitation to do something better. And here, as Jesus is telling us not to worry, he's inviting us to recognize the Father's love. And notice how Christ very intentionally refers to God as your heavenly Father in verse 26. Now, this term heavenly Father is one that Christ uses pretty frequently, and he does so because it tells us something about God's nature. Heavenly tells us of God's supremacy, that he is above all dominion and all glory and all power belong to him. But Father tells us of his intimacy, that he is both comforter and caretaker, protector and provider, that if you allow yourself, you'll feel the safest you've ever felt in his arms. And by referring to God as our Heavenly Father, Christ is inviting us to look at the birds of the sky and to see how all of creation sings of God's supremacy and his intimacy. One place where we see this pretty clearly is in Psalm 104. A portion of it reads, "You make the springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkey quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heaven dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of your work." Here, the psalmist is showing us how God provides for all of creation. And how does creation respond? With deep satisfaction. The psalmist continues, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for the man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen his heart." You see, God doesn't just provide for the plants and the animals and the earth. He provides for us as well. You see, God's goodness is for his creation, but his love is for us, his image bearers in particular. You see, in verse 26, he asks, "Are you not of more value than they?" And it's a rhetorical question because in God's mind, it's an obvious yes. But for us, it's not always so obvious. And we need to hear this because many of us wrestle with varying levels of self-hate. In this culture of scarcity and worry, we're not only afraid of not having enough, but not being enough as well. Not being successful enough, not being smart enough, not being funny enough, not being ambitious enough, not being influential enough, not being, you can fill in the blank. But underneath every fear of not being enough is this deeper fear of not being enough. Good enough. When we let this rule ourselves, there comes a level of resentment. We end up resenting who we are. But what I want you to hear this morning is that your Heavenly Father does not resent you. He sees you, he knows you, and he delights in you. He delights in your laugh, he delights in your creativity, he delights in your mannerisms and your quirks, he delights in you. And he says, "Because I love you so, I've created this world for you to enjoy. Plants for us to cultivate so we can enjoy avocado toast and craft beer and everything in between." We look at God's provision in creation as a way of recognizing the Father's love for us. So how do we do this? By connecting the dots of God's goodness in creation to his particular love for us. By connecting the dots from God's goodness in creation to his particular love for us. Whether you're taking in the beauty of sight of cherry blossoms when they're in full bloom, or taking in the beauty of sound of the National Symphony down at the Kennedy Center, or if you're taking in the beauty of taste, experiencing some of the best wine that Northern Virginia wineries have to offer, connect it all back to the hand of God. Whether you're watching the sunset over DC from your favorite rooftop bar, or watching the sun rise on a camping trip in the Shenandoah, connect it all back to the hand of God. It's these ordinary moments of awe and wonder in which we get to experience the transcendent joy and love of our Father. And when you experience these moments, remember that before God breathed this world into existence, before he spoke it into existence, he had these moments in mind. He had his mind set on you so that you could enjoy it. All these gifts are meant to point us back to him. In verse 25, Christ asks, "Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Another rhetorical question. The answer is yes. There's so much more to life, namely the Father's love. So we take these good gifts as a way of looking back to him. We enjoy the creation as a means of finding our deeper joy in the Creator. Point one, we enjoy God as we recognize the Father's love. Point two, we enjoy God as we receive the Father's love. as we receive the Father's love. Now, there's a difference between recognizing something as being objectively true and receiving it to be true for yourself personally. Here in D.C., not my president is a very common term. When Obama got elected, many people recognized the objective facts that he was the president, but they did not receive him as such. Not my president. Currently, many people recognize that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but they might not receive him as such. Not my president. I recognize that the New England Patriots are the Super Bowl champions. But I do not receive them as such. Not my champions. You see, sometimes we have a hard time receiving what we consider bad news to be true, but sometimes we have an even harder time receiving good news to be true. And why is that? It's because we have little faith. Look with me at verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Our little faith prevents us from receiving God's particular love for us. We might recognize intellectually, yeah, God delights in my laugh, Charles, that's cool, but I don't receive that on a heart level. It's because of our little faith. And I think, if we're honest with ourselves, it's because we have a very real sense of our sin. In the chapter just before this one, Matthew 5, it closes with Jesus saying this: you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we have a hard time believing that a perfect father can love his imperfect children. We think of the anger we harbor, the lust that we nurture, our inability or failure to love our neighbors as ourselves, let alone our enemies. We think of the pornography and alcohol and food we return to numb the pain. We think of the venomous speech we use to tear down our spouses, our kids, or strangers we never met online. And we ask ourselves, how can a perfect God love us so? So on Friday, I went to a Tony Hawk-themed birthday party. Now, many of you guys are thinking, wow, that's random. Some of you guys are thinking, wow, that's awesome. And a good number of you guys are thinking, who the heck is Tony Hawk? Well, Tony Hawk was one of the most recognizable sports figures in the 1990s. He was a pro skateboarder, and he retired in 1999 after completing a 900 vertical at the X Games. And up until this point, this particular trick, the 900 vertical, had never been done. So it was the summer of 1999, and Tony Hawk is skating in front of hundreds of thousands of adoring fans, and after 10 failed attempts, he finally sticks the landing to thunderous applause of the 900 vertical, and then he skates off into the sunset. His retirement officially began as the greatest skater of all time. Fast forward 20 years. It's 2019, and Tony Hawk is once again standing in a skate park. But this time, it's not hundreds of thousands of adoring fans. This time, it's just Tony Hawk and one other person, his 10-year-old daughter, Katie. Katie's standing on top of a tiny ramp, and you see Katie with the skateboard underneath her feet, her helmet on, and she's holding her father's hands, and Katie's about to attempt a drop. Now, a drop is not a trick. It's simply learning how to skate from the top of a ramp into a skate park. So in this video, you see Tony holding his daughter's hands, and then he slowly backs away, and he's giving her instruction, and he's telling her not to worry. And you can see on her face this look of fear, but also determination, and then there's stillness. And then she drops, and she absolutely crushes it. But before the video is over, all you can hear is the joyous laughter and celebration of Tony Hawk, forgotten celebrity, but very proud father. 10-year-old Katie, she was able to overcome her fear, yes, but more importantly, she got to experience and enjoy her father's love. Why? Because she knew that in the presence of her father, she was safe and secure. Likewise, we can know that in the presence of our Heavenly Father, we are safe and secure. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Just as our Father gives us food to eat, clothes to wear, mountains to climb, he also gives us a faith to call our own and a Jesus to put that faith in. In verse 27, Jesus asked the question, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" The answer is none of us. And here's the reality. One of these days, we're all going to die. Try as you might to prevent it, death will take us all. And one of these days, we're all going to meet our God face to face. But if your faith is in Jesus, when you meet your Heavenly Father face to face, he's going to receive you with joyous laughter and celebration as he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is good news, and this good news can be yours if you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And this is good news not just for when we die. No, this is good news now. This is a reality for you now if your faith is in Christ Jesus, even if your faith is little. His love is constant, it's patient, it's kind, it's gentle, it's compassionate. If your faith is in Christ, it's yours. So receive it and enjoy it. Point one, we enjoy the Father as we recognize his love. Point two, we enjoy the Father as we receive his love. Point three, lastly and quickly, we enjoy the Father as we return his love. As we return his love. Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What does returning the Father's love look like? It looks like seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And this, friends, is a life of joyful obedience. So be on the lookout for opportunities to do righteous deeds in order to advance the kingdom. Take out the trash. Show up when it's your turn to volunteer in the nursery. Help a stranger on this side of the road change their tire. Be on the lookout for ordinary moments in which we can perform acts of righteousness and advance the kingdom. And remember, we're not doing this to earn favor. Your Heavenly Father already loves you as much as he possibly can. But we're doing this as a way to enjoy our Father by returning his love back to him. Later in John 15, Jesus will tell us, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Christ wants us to have joy, friends. He wants us to have it in the fullest. And he knows that it comes from a life of joyful obedience. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We enjoy the Father by recognizing his love, by receiving his love, and by returning his love. I've got a quick confession for you guys. I am a big Star Wars fan. But I'm a big Star Wars fan because my dad is a big Star Wars fan. I just love the creative mind of George Lucas. I love the planets he creates, the characters, the story. I love all of it. I have to be honest with you. Whenever I'm up here leading liturgy and it's time to pass the peace, I have to fight the temptation not to say, "May the Force be with you," instead of "May the peace of Christ be with you." It's a very real struggle, but as much as I love Star Wars, what I really love is how Star Wars helps me enjoy my Father's love. I remember being 7 years old and the joy that came with turning out all the lights in our living room and turning on our glow-in-the-dark lightsabers and battling there in the dark. I remember the joy of being 10 years old and coming back from school on a Friday evening and spending 1 or 2 hours playing our favorite Star Wars video game. I remember the joy of being 14 years old and going to see the midnight premiere of Revenge of the Sith with my dad. Even to this day, if a new Star Wars movie comes out, I can't go see it first without seeing it with my dad. I love Star Wars. I enjoy Star Wars. But I love the love of my dad better. Maybe you have similar memories with your own dad. Maybe you don't have any memories of your dad because he wasn't around. Or maybe you do have memories of your dad, but they're the type of memories you're trying your hardest to forget. Here's the point. Even the best father in this world is only a timely reflection of our Heavenly Father. And we have access to him right now through Jesus Christ. So let's enjoy him. So how might you enjoy your Heavenly Father this week? Three quick suggestions, and then we're done. Suggestion number one, first, recognize his love at the end of every day this week by writing down a way in which you saw a sign of his love. This will just help train your eyes to be on the lookout of the goodness that's all around us. At the end of every day, just write it down. Secondly, though, once you're done writing it down, say thank you. It's this art of practicing gratitude that makes it simply from intellectual recognition to a heart reception. So recognize it, but then say thank you. A couple words, a couple sentences of thank you. And thirdly and lastly, write down a righteous deed that you can perform the next day, something small. And then go do it. Again, not to earn favor. Your Heavenly Father already loves you as much as he possibly can, but so that you can enjoy returning the Father's love. Today is Mother's Day. It's also International Nurses Day. And this past week was National Teacher Appreciation Week. We as a culture and as a society, we're in the habit of recognizing those important people in our lives who care for us and honoring them and giving them gifts. Just take that same mode of living and apply it to your Heavenly Father this week. Next week, we'll hear about enjoying the Son's grace, but this week, let's learn a little bit more about what it looks like to enjoy the Father's love. Please pray with me. Father God, it is simply amazing that you, the creator of the universe, the master of all things, call us your children. But Lord, we confess that we have a hard time living in light of this reality, so we pray by the power of your Spirit and no power of our own that you will help us recognize your love, receive your love, and return your love so that we might enjoy you more fully. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.